Did you ever get a really good bargain on something? Think about it for a second. Did you ever buy something that was such a good bargain that you almost felt like something was wrong? Like perhaps it was priced incorrectly or confused with another item, or maybe someone just overlooked it and you got a really good bargain on it. And when you got it, you felt good, but you also felt like maybe you got away with something. A bargain that good. Did you ever get something like that? Think about it. People love bargains. How do we know that? Because there are things like Black Friday. Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, is one of those days where people go bargain shopping. They get up at an ungodly hour, and they go out and wait in line, wait in the cold, to find a great bargain. And I know this because I worked at a retail store for 4 years and worked four Black Fridays. And I was on the other side of this, seeing these people run and chase and even sometimes fight for this great bargain. And I even had to break up a fight between two adult people who were trying to go over this, fight over this very cheap DVD player. And when I say cheap, I sort of mean cheap, cheaply made. But people were trying for a good bargain, and that's what Black Friday is all about. And think about it, there's other ways. I mean, flea markets, garage sales. Typically, people go because there's good bargains. At least they're hoping for a good bargain. eBay, Craigslist. So everybody wants a good bargain. Everybody wants to think they're getting something of great value for little cost. I like to think that I've had a couple really good bargains in my life. I'm not sure if I would call myself a bargain shopper because I'm not sure I would consider myself a shopper. But when I do shop, I do like to look for bargains. But I think I came across two pretty good bargains in my life. The first one was my first car I ever bought. The first car I ever bought with my own money. I was about 25, 26 years old, and I always had these cars that were like, you know, these junk piles on wheels, and I was always a little embarrassed to drive them. But I was working full-time, finally, and at a job that I figured I could be at for a while, and I felt like it was time to get it myself a car, you know, my own car, my first car, a car that was decent. And so I went to this place. In fact, my mom actually found this car that I kind of told her I would like someday, and she found it in a newspaper and thought, this might be a good bargain. So we went and looked at this car, and it was a little shocking how good of a bargain it was. This is about 2006 or 2005, something like that, and I'm looking for my first car. And we came across a 2002 Pontiac Grand Prix, this sporty, black, powerful sports car, like a 3 or 4 year old car, and really was flawless. I mean, really, there was nothing wrong with the car at all. It had probably about 60,000 miles on it, but the car looked fantastic, and it was a sporty, good-looking, nice car, and it was like $6,000, and sure, $6,000 was a lot of money, but I kept thinking, wow, this car's probably worth double that. You know, I'm brand new, these cars are probably $20,000, $25,000, and this car was going for $6,000, and I remember thinking, we got to get this car. I got to get this car. I got to get this amazing deal, because if I don't, someone else is going to grab it. Maybe even that day, maybe someone would come and buy the car and I would miss out on this chance to get this really good bargain. So I did. I bought the car. And honestly, it was a fantastic car. I got a really good bargain. It lasted me a long time. It was a really fun car to drive. A really nice looking car. Had a lot of power, a lot of speed. And I paid about $6,000 for it. Just a really good bargain. And again, it was one of those things I didn't want anybody else to have it. I wanted the car. That's the car I wanted. That's the kind of car I was looking for. And I didn't want anybody else to get the bargain that I saw that day. And so I think even that day, we signed the papers. I took the car home, and that was it. Because, again, it was such a great bargain. The second one, and even more profound, and I'm really not going for brownie points here because I really believe this, was I believe my wife was a really good bargain. Yes, she was. Honestly, when I moved to Michigan in my late 20s to do ministry, God brought me out to Michigan to do campus ministry, and it was the first time I was ever really doing anything for the Lord that took any amount of faith. And, you know, I move out to Michigan and my sights are set upon ministry. My sights are set upon simply doing the will of the Lord. And honestly, and I mean this, I wasn't looking for a spouse. I wasn't looking to date. I was just simply, solely devoted to doing what God had called me to do. But as I got to Michigan, you know, I got to know this young lady. And it was really, you know, very innocent. And we just sort of met organically there at one of the young adult hangouts. And, you know, we started to talk and started to get to know each other a little bit. And, of course, I noticed she was pretty. But, again, it was very innocent. I wasn't looking to date at all. I had my mind fixed upon, you know, just doing ministry. But the more I got to know Janine and got to know her heart and things like that, I really just was captivated by the fact of how, you know, focused she was on the Lord, how, you know, obviously pretty she was. And I started to wonder, huh, nobody's dating this girl? You know, this girl's not taken? And, you know, I was in my 20s and she was in her young 20s. But I started thinking, maybe. This might be a fantastic bargain here. And it obviously was, because long story short, you know, Janine and I got married. But what happened is I started thinking, I don't want anybody else to have her. I want Janine. And so it was like a month from the day that I moved to Michigan that Janine and I got engaged. It was fast. It was really fast. In fact, it was probably a little creepy fast for some people who didn't know anything about me. Here's this guy who rolls into town and, you know, a month later he's engaged to a girl that grew up in this church that everybody knew. And, but again, it was such a great bargain. I looked at Janine and I thought, wow, I can't miss out on this. And so, like I said, in a month, 1 month after I moved to Michigan, and I had known her a little bit before I moved to Michigan, but we were engaged and 9 months later we were married. And let me tell you, I got a fantastic bargain in that transaction because Janine is everything I expected and more, and just one of those incredible bargains that I still can't believe I got, and I thank the Lord for. But honestly, not going for brownie points there, I just honestly mean that. I think it's one of those fantastic bargain stories. So I don't know if you have anything like that where you would just consider yourself to have gotten this fantastic bargain, but people want bargains. I truly believe that. People want to think that they're saving money, but also getting something of incredible value. And it's interesting. There's someone in Scripture that got a really, really good bargain. In fact, it's a man in a parable, and I'm not sure it's actually an actual person that existed, or if it was just a made-up story by Jesus to describe someone getting a good bargain. But anyways, we find it in Matthew chapter 13. And the parable is called the parable of the hidden treasure. And I have must have read this parable dozens of times. I've just been captivated by this, like, one verse parable in Scripture. And I'll just read it. It's really short. It's like a couple sentences. This is what it says. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field." I'll read it one more time. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field." Do you see what's happening there? A bargain is taking place there. This man, this fictional man, possibly, finds treasure hidden in a field. And he realizes this treasure is incredibly valuable. And what he does is pretty awesome. In his joy, he goes and sells everything that he owns so that he can purchase the field with the treasure in it. And this passage is amazing to me because this is such an incredible bargain that is transpiring here in this man's mind. This man is calculating everything in his mind, going, okay, wait a minute. I didn't expect to find this, but now that I've found it, it's worth an incredible amount. And what is it going to take for me to acquire that treasure? in a modern day illustration, this is what I basically think is happening. If you were going to go, you know, buy a plot of land to build a house upon, and, you know, just this plot of land, just a square plot of land, maybe an acre or whatever, and you're going to look at the land and try to sort of envision your house one day and see if this land was a good place to put a house on because you were going to build. And so you're just walking around sort of envisioning your house and, you know, the possibility of maybe getting this lot. But it's expensive. I mean, let's say it's about $50,000 to get this plot of land. You know, and that's just the land. That's not even anything, the house. But you're going around and you're on the ground the one day and just kind of digging around, poking around. And while you're doing so, and I don't know exactly how you'd figure this out, but you discover oil on that plot of land. You dig, you have a shovel, you strike oil, and oil springs forth from this plot of land. Well, what would happen that day would be pretty obvious. This $50,000 plot of land would turn into a little bit pricey to incredibly valuable. An incredible bargain. $50,000 would have gone in your mind to a lot of money to simply change maybe you found in your couch cushion because of the value of what is in that land. And I'm guessing that if you had any logic and any sense, if you found oil in a plot of land that cost $50,000, you're probably going to do similar to what this man did in scripture. You're probably going to A, tell no one about the oil, maybe even cover up the fact that there is oil in that land. And then you're going to sell everything you own. In fact, you may even get a couple friends and family members together to sell everything they own. Whatever it takes to get the $50,000 that day so that you can buy the plot of land that has oil in it. Because if you know anything about oil, the return value from whatever you pay for that land is going to be astronomical. And I think in a way, this is what is happening with this man. This man is in a field, a simple, basic field, but he stumbles across treasure. And it's true treasure. I mean, this is like profound treasure. Treasure like oil, that it's undeniable that this is incredibly valuable. And so listen to what he does. He covers it up. He covers up the treasure because I think it's very simple. He doesn't want anyone else to find this bargain. And if you've ever been to, like, you know, a department store or electronic store or something like that, and maybe you've even done this yourself, if you found a good bargain but you didn't have the money that day to buy it, maybe you've done what I've caught a few people doing when I worked in retail. You hide something. You find something that's a good bargain in the store. You don't have the money that day to get it, but you want that item. So you hide it behind something else. You cover it up. You make sure no one else can find that bargain so that you can go get the money you need, come back and buy it, and no one else will have it. And that's exactly what this man does. He covers up the treasure. He covers it up so that anybody walking by would just see a boring old field and pass right by because of the incredible bargain in this field. And then it says, in his joy, in his exuberance, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. I mean, what, again, would cause such a reaction? Can you imagine selling everything you own? I mean, your car, all of your possessions, everything that means something to you, everything. You get rid of all of it. You get as much money as possible for everything that you own in one day's time so that you can go buy a plot of land. The only thing that would cause such a reaction is the incredible bargain and value of whatever is in that field. And to this man, it's a treasure. To this man, it is undeniably a bargain. And what does he do? He sells everything that he has so he can buy that field, the field that carries the treasure in it. And what is so interesting is this is what Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. Think about that. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And when I read this passage, I can't help but think of all the passages Jesus talks about where he says, in order to follow me, you must die to yourself. You must pick up your cross. You must renounce everything that you have. You must hate your family. You must put your hand to the plow and not look back. All of these things where Jesus is signifying the cost of Christianity. You know, the incredible cost it takes to follow Jesus. He wants everyone to know that following Christ is costly. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something that is near and dear to you. But I think the reason this parable is in Scripture is for us to look at the other side of the bargain, to the point where we are getting something of such incredible value that it far outweighs what we give in order to receive that bargain. And really, in simple terms, I think this is talking about following Jesus, because that's the key to the kingdom of heaven. That's how you obtain the kingdom of heaven, faith in Christ. And when a person understands the value of what you get from following Christ, what you get from obeying Christ, what you get from renouncing everything to follow him, everything you have to give up in order to do that seems like pennies. It seems like couch lint. It seems like nothing in the return of what you're going to get back from following Jesus Christ. Eternal life, eternal joy, peace with God, the separation from your sin and the death that those sins bring. That's what you get for following Christ. And so this man who understands this concept, which I think Jesus is trying to get into our minds, does the obvious. He gives up everything he has. He sells everything he owns so that he could buy the field with the treasure in it. And Jesus says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is that treasure. And I feel like today we have a lot of people trying to convince themselves into following Christ, and it's almost like a chore. It's like, oh, I don't want to do this, but I know that I should, and therefore I'm going to go to church, therefore I'm going to read my Bible on occasion, I'm going to try to be loving. And you know what's happening? These people don't think that's a bargain. They don't get it. They don't get that a person who stumbles upon Christianity and Christ has found the most incredible bargain of all time. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to his readers. If you have ears to hear and eyes to see today, you will understand that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he sells all he has and buys that field. And I just want to challenge you tonight. Is that what Christianity is to you? Is that what Jesus Christ is to you? Is he the treasure in the field? Is he the bargain that you stumble upon that is so incredibly valuable that you're willing to do whatever, and I mean whatever it takes to follow him? You'll lay down your sin. You'll lay down your weights. You'll lay down your hobbies. You'll lay down your loved ones if it takes that. You'll go to any part of the world. You'll do anything it takes in order to follow Jesus because of the return value that will come from that transaction. And I want you to be challenged by that tonight. I want you to consider the bargain of following Jesus. Yes, it is costly. We must not look past that. Following Jesus is going to cost you possibly everything you have. Everything that is near and dear to you. You might have to let go for following Jesus. But I want you to think about the incredible bargain of what eternal life would be like. What peace with God forever is like. What it's like to receive and share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ and sit at the banquet table with him someday and share stories and fellowship with him, and for him to smile upon you and welcome you into the kingdom. Can you imagine that kind of bargain? If you can, you can receive it. You can have Jesus. But again, you must be determined to follow him no matter the cost. And if you look at it through the lens of this man here tonight and see the incredible bargain of following Jesus Christ, you will do what's obvious. And you'll follow Jesus no matter what. Consider that bargain tonight. Think on it. Reflect on it. Consider Jesus, his incredible worth and value. And may we follow him all the days of our life, no matter the cost. One day, it's a promise, it's a guarantee. We'll be glad we did. Thanks for listening.